Avos Perk Aleph, Mishnah Yud, 1:10. And now we meet the fourth of the five pairs of Zugos. This is Shmaya and Avtalion. Shmaya and Avtalion were, says the Bar Tanura, and based on the Rambam and his Akdama, both converts. And that is really a remarkable testament to the meritocratic system here we have of the rabbis, that the people who are the best men for the job rise to be the leadership of Israel, even if they come from even not Jewish parentage. There is a question that the general rule is that someone who is a pure-blooded non-Jew who's a convert shouldn't have a position of srara ala tzibor, of leadership and domination over the community. And because of that, there are those like the Derech Chaim, the Maharal, and the Tosi Yontov goes the same way, that it wasn't that they themselves were converts, but rather their fathers were converts, and they have some Jewish blood inside of them. Already they are born Jewish. Whatever the case is, these two led the Jewish people in a really precarious time. I mean, I understand that throughout the Hasmonean period, every time is a precarious time, but they led during the Jewish Civil War between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, the children of Shlomtzion and Malka. And they also were there when ultimately Pompey made Israel, Judea, into a Roman vassal state. These were difficult times. And they're going to give some advice here. First, we have Shmaya Omer. Shmaya says, Ehov esa malacha. You should love work. And I note here that the word malacha isn't, the word malacha has a connotation of like creative activity, which I think is worthy of note. His point here, first and foremost, is that work in and of itself is a good thing. Meaning, even if you don't need it for the money, just working is good. You should love it. First of all, if a person is idle with nothing to do, so he kind of goes crazy, being in a situation where you can't be a productive member of society, you don't have what to do, is really frustrating. And therefore, a person should embrace the opportunity to do something and be productive. And more than that, it has direct benefits to a person, both on his physical and spiritual well-being. Physically, hard work is just good for your health. The Machzor Vitri points this out. You know, being out there and being active is just necessary for your physical well-being. It also is good for your spiritual being because it keeps you humble. It keeps you out of sin. There's a non-Jewish saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop. And that's certainly the sentiment here, that one who doesn't have what to do will get to no good. The Yitzhar gets the better of him. And that's all before we talk about the basic utility of having a job to earn a living. Now, it's super important that a person be self-sufficient. He supports himself. This is important because it's ennobling. There is definitely a current in 21st century Judaism that sort of like downplays the importance of work, and maybe even in certain circles, derogates a little bit. But that is not the opinion of this Tana, not mainstream Jewish thinking. Historically speaking, we are all charged with being imitatio Dio, to be like God. And although, of course, God is sort of unknowable, so what would that mean? One thing we can say, almost if we could say anything that's positive about God as part of what he isn't, God is sort of independent. And yes, I'm aware that independent is sort of a double negative. He's not dependent. But you see, God is an independent creative being and a giver, and a person ought to be the same. A person should make himself independent such that he can be not dependent on others. And that is certain, it's ennobling. It certainly gives a person a sense of self and self-sufficiency, which is important to his basic personhood. And therefore, it's important that a person should be able to earn himself, support himself. And the Mishnah will go on to talk more about that as well. In addition, the word malacha, like I said, implies some kind of creative activity. And there's something just extraordinarily gratifying, satisfying about a job well done, about bringing something into existence which wasn't there before, and it's thanks to you. To create that is something which is a uniquely gratifying, satisfying human experience, which a person should embrace. That's part of what it means to be a human being, and it's good. Beyond that, says Shmaya, Usna es Rabbanus. You should hate Rabbanus. Now, Rabbanus could be read in the small sense of just like, you know, the rabbinate, or it could be in the larger sense of being in a position of authority. Now, some learn this is just amplifying what we said before. In other words, even if a person is, you know, he's the big rabbi, and he might think, oh, you know, it's beneath my dignity to work and have a job, and that's wrong. That's wrong. The Bar Tanura brings a statement that comes from the Gemara in Pesachim, from Rav Kahana, we'll call him the Gadol Ador, and Rav Kahana said, I'll translate literally so you can understand what he you know, appreciate exactly the words he's saying. He says, Pshot nevela b'shuk v'tol agra. You should be ready to flay a carcass of an animal, like a butcher, in the market, in the public place, and earn your wage. The idea being that being a butcher is not a very, it's not a very prestigious profession, and it's messy and dirty and stinky. But you know what? A person should do that in the public market and earn his keep. Velo tema, and he shouldn't say, and this is Rav Kahana speaking, Kahana ana, I'm the great Kahana, Gavra Rabba ana, I'm a great man. It's beneath my dignity, if you will, to work and earn a living. Wrong. A person should not think that way. A person should embrace hard work, supporting himself, and be proud of the fact that he is self-sufficient, as a support of his basic human dignity, and what it means to be a Tzelem Elokim, to be independent and create yourself. We're all working to recreate ourselves in a spiritual way, and that also starts with just the most basic, being responsible for all areas of your life, but not just spiritual, but also physical. There's a second approach here that Usnei Rabbanos, to hate, you know, lording over others, is more generic, not about the Rabbanos than that, but just a second new point, which is to not want to have authority and sort of dominion over the community. There's two basic reasons for this. The first, the Bar Tanura brings, is just it's just not good for you. He even quotes a basic Gemara from Yoma Peivav, which says that Sarar Latzibor, being, you know, in a position of dominion over the community, Mikaveres Es Baaleha, it literally buries the one who has it. So the idea being that leadership takes a great toll on a person just because of the stress. Now that's the Rambam learns as a famous Gemara that says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he's quoted in the Haggadah this way, says, Hare ani ke ben shivim shana, I'm like a 7-year-old man. And the Gemara says he wasn't 70, he was 18 or 16, which in the Bavli Nishami. So he's a kid, but he was like 7 years old. Why? Because he had this gray hair. And the Rambam learns that, the Parash Mishnayos, that what happened is that the stress of being responsible for the Jewish people as its leader took such a heavy toll that he went gray overnight. I always look at the pictures. You see Barack Obama at the beginning of his term and as a young man, and then 8 years later, and you see how much he aged. So a position of authority takes its toll on a person. Therefore, the Bar Tanura says you want to avoid that. The Rambam learns more that it's corrupting, that once you're in a position of power, so then kind of echoing the sentiment of the 19th century historian Lord Acton, you know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Once you're in a position of Sarara, of Rabbanus, so then you're forced to be a politician. And that means really compromising your morals. It means having to pander to lower elements to ensure you're in power, to take care of people in ways that maybe that would, again, compromise your morals. So you should avoid positions of authority which end up forcing you to sacrifice your ethical well-being, your morality. The last part he says is Va'altis Vada Larashus. Don't make yourself known to the authorities, now the government. The word Rashus here is kind of unusual. Normally, in the time of the Mishnah, would refer to the government as the Malchus, like that's the, you know, the monarchy. Here, Rashus just means whoever's the prevailing power. I didn't see any Rishonim speak out why he chose this kind of unfamiliar word. They do discuss its etymology, suggesting either that it's from like the person who's Rashus Biyado, the person who has the authority in his hand. That's why he's called the Rashus, because he has Rishus, he's authorized to act. Others learn that's from the word like Rosh, like the head, that's the Rashut, whatever it is. It may well be, and this is speculative on my part, that in the time of Shmuel of Talion, really, who was in charge was like it was a very unstable situation. The Romans had taken over from the midst of a Jewish civil war, and they themselves were having their own civil wars, and so since it wasn't clear who was in charge of what, so perhaps he didn't go with Malchus, but instead with Rishus. Whatever the case is, we're saying here, don't make yourself known to the government, and there are basically three approaches to what's driving this. The Bar Tanura learns that, again, once you're known to the government and working with them, it's necessarily going to compromise your morals. So you want to sort of steer clear of them because you have to sort of ingratiate yourself to the government and do things you wouldn't otherwise do or want to do. So maintain your purity of character and your purity of purpose and just steer clear of the government. Rashi learns that the issue is once you're associated with the government, so then essentially politicians only have their interests at heart and they're using you as a tool and they'll just kind of chew you up and spit you out when they're done with you. It's actually a Mishnah in the next parak that talks on this very point. And then the Meiri has a third approach, which he based it on an avatar of Nassim, that you should stay anonymous from the government, kind of keep your head down and make yourself not known to them. So they don't exploit you, they don't take your money, they don't enslave you, because once they know you exist, so then they'll figure out how to make the best use of you, which is definitely not in your interest. So three different approaches, all of which are probably true, why it's best to steer clear of the government if at all you can. Now just a final PS, I have to speak out, that in the modern Israeli state, so we have a Jewish state where it is run by Jews, and I guess this is definitely a good thing. So therefore, perhaps exactly how this mission would play out in a democratic state of Israel needs to be reconsidered.